I grew up in a Nazarene church. We went to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And what I have on probably would not be appropriate for any of those church services. So it's amazing, like, through the years, like, how the dress has changed in our church. Like, I can go to church on Sunday morning like this, and it's not a big deal. If I'd have put this on when I was a kid and tried to go to church, I'd have been back upstairs real quick. So just neat how that's changed over the years and just everybody being so accepting. I asked Jesus to come into my heart when I was in elementary school. I remember kneeling down by the bed and my mom and I praying, and I asked Jesus into my heart. That was a special moment. We lived in Cincinnati until I was in sixth grade, and then we moved to Fishers, Indiana, because my dad got relocated with his job. I played basketball, played baseball, and I ran cross country in middle school. Not very fast, by the way, but I did run. I was active in youth group in middle school, got baptized when I was in eighth grade, and then came high school. So Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's a verse that, you know, really rang true when I was in high school, and it rang true the rest of my my life and our life with our family, as you'll see here as I speak here. I was in high school from 93 to 97. I played basketball and tennis in high school, and I was about 6'3", 160. So I was a beanpole, not a whole lot of muscle on me. I didn't get in the weight room a whole lot until my junior and senior year. So I was an easy target. I didn't smoke, I didn't do drugs, I didn't sleep around, and I didn't drink. I think partly because, you know, I knew, you know, just what I was taught in the Bible and everything and trying to learn all of that. And then the other part was, I don't want to get in trouble. So that was the other aspect of that, because I wanted to play sports. But with that brought a lot of what people call today of bullying. You know, we didn't have that term back then. You know, you got picked on or stuff like that, but they didn't call it bullying. You know, I know you guys, if you're at Fredericktown Schools, I know they're piloting a program where we're not using our book bags in 6th and 7th grade. Well, we were never allowed to have a book bag from 6th grade through 12th grade. So to me, that's not a big deal, and I told my son that, because he's like, we can't have our book bag. Well, guess what? We didn't have them ever, you know? But one of the things, you know, when we're talking bullying, you know, I'd be walking down with my books in my hand, and you'd have people coming around and smacking them out of your hand. I had my car vandalized. I got made fun of on a regular basis because I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't do drugs, I wasn't sleeping around. That just wasn't who I was. And sometimes, you know, I did a good job of handling that, and other times it was a little rough. There were other people in school that weren't involved in that stuff, but most of my friends, people I hung around with, were involved in those kind of activities in some form or another. So I ended up being the driver sometimes for people just so, you know, I didn't put them in harm's way. But that was not always an easy thing. My really good friends, like, kind of eased off, and they kind of knew who I was and what I stood for, and I wasn't going to do that kind of stuff. But, you know, there was a good portion of other kids who, it was relentless, and I was an easy target, beanpole. I didn't really fight back. So I had to deal with a lot of those kind of things growing up. So when I hear people talk about bullying, you know, that's something I am sensitive to. If I see something, I address it right away with somebody. I don't like to see that, and, you know, not something that I tolerate by any stretch of the imagination. My junior year in high school, my uncle committed suicide. Very trying moment for me. It was the uncle that I hung out with the most, spent the most time with, and he was manic depressive. I think I said that right. But he struggled with some things, and he committed suicide, and it was my junior year of basketball season. I had just sprained my ankle, and it was a really bad sprain, so I was out, and then that happened, and so I wasn't involved. You know, I couldn't get out on the floor to kind of get that out. So, you know, I sympathize when I hear different things coming from kids over at school. Like, I get it. I mean, some of those things you're dealing with as a high school kid or a middle school kid that maybe you shouldn't have to deal with yet. Like, I mean, I've been down that road. I dealt with those, you know. And then on top of that, you know, my dad got a job, he had a job. He he got a promotion at the same place, and with that brought a lot of stress. And so he would get mad at me, and if I did something wrong, I mean, I was the oldest, so how many oldest kids we have out there? Okay. Usually the parents are harder on the first kid. It's their first one, so they're kind of figuring things out, you know. But my dad got pretty mad at me, I would say probably about 9 or 10 times my junior and senior year, and he just beat the snot out of me. And, you know, that's a tough thing to deal with. You know, my uncle committed suicide. I dealt with that. I was bullied at school, so there were a lot of emotions there. And I think I struggled a little bit with, here we are going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and this is what this looks like? This is what I'm coming home to? So I would say my relationship with God was like surface level in high school. I wouldn't say I dove in. I was right on the surface because I think I was really frustrated. I look back, I think I was just really frustrated that, you know, this is what was going on. And I remember going like, why, God? Why is this happening? I'm not doing drugs. I'm not smoking. I'm not going drinking. I'm not going and sleeping around. I'm doing all these right things. Why is this happening to me when I'm trying to do all these right things? And so that was high school was a very hard time dealing with all that stuff. So about halfway through my senior year, I was like, I'm ready to go. Like, I was ready to go. Ready to go to college, ready to get out of the house. I mean, I did spend some time crying in my room on multiple occasions. Like, I just dealing with all the emotions of all that stuff, it was a little challenging for me. And I got to be fairly decent at tennis. I was okay at basketball. I wasn't great, but I had an opportunity to go to Olivet Nazarene University to play basketball and tennis. I got a scholarship. That was our church-affiliated school. And so I was going to go there to play two sports. And then I don't know when it was, but in April, I'm not sure when I decided to actually go there, but April my senior year, I'm like, I'm going to go to Breakaway at Mount Vernon Nazarene College. It was college then, now it's university. But I'm going to go to Breakaway. And it was just a two-day deal where you go and, you know, they kind of give you a little teaser of what college life's going to be like, let you go to a class, let you hang out in the apartments and all that kind of stuff. And I saw a childhood friend of mine that I knew from Cincinnati back when we were there when I was in fourth, fifth grade. And we had a blast, met some other people, and I just really, looking back, I know that was God, like, because I felt like this is the school I'm supposed to go to. This is it. And, you know, I look back and I'm like, wow, what a moment. Because I remember that feeling when I left there, knowing, like, I'm going to go to school here. And that was God speaking to me, saying, like, I want you at Mount Vernon Nazarene College. And, but with that was the hard part, because they were really good at basketball. Olivet was good too, but Mount Vernon was really good. The year I came in, I think they were like eighth in the country, and they didn't have a tennis team. So I had to choose the college and where I felt God calling me over playing sports in college. And sports were my everything when I was in high school. Okay, that's kind of what drove me and got me through some of those tough times, was just playing sports. So that was a tough choice to make, but then it was an easy choice, because I really felt like, man, God is taking me down this path to go to Mount Vernon Nazarene College. Rededicated my life to Christ when I got there. Like I said, I felt like I was more on the surface in high school, given all the things that I was dealing with. And I got there my freshman year, and there was just a very powerful service. And, you know, I just got down on my knees and said, God, I want to have a relationship with you. I've been on the surface with you. I haven't really been diving into the Word and praying and doing the things that I know you want me to do. And so I rededicated my life to Christ my freshman year. I went on a couple mission trips over spring break my freshman year, my sophomore year. I got involved with the basketball team. I was a manager my sophomore year and then a student assistant coach my junior and senior year. Stayed another year after and was an assistant coach. And that kind of took me down the path for after college, but it was a great opportunity. And again, I look back and I'm like, man, I really wanted to play basketball and tennis in college, but God opened that door and got me connected with the person that actually got me involved to be a manager my sophomore year. He's one of my best friends. I was in his wedding, best man at his wedding. He was in my wedding. Like, it was just a really neat, really neat thing there. I also met my wife, Stacy, who's in the back there. We got married in 2003, and, you know, we were both virgins when we got married. And, you know, that's something that was really important to both of us. Again, given all the temptation and everything that you deal with, even though you're at the NAS, there's still that temptation, and in high school. But we got married in 2003. I was a assistant women's basketball coach, went to Indiana Wesleyan, Wright State, University of the Cumberlands. Stacy bounced around to different spots and got a license in three states so she could teach 1 year at some of those different places. So kudos to her for having to go through all that. But, you know, she followed, or I'd say followed me around. That's what she tells people. She followed me around all these different spots because I'm not sure she was really ecstatic about that. But God blessed us with a son, Trevor, in 2006, right before she got the job here at Fredericktown in 06, and I got the head women's basketball job at Ohio Dominican, and then a daughter, Kit, in 2007. So then, fast forward to, well, let me back up. 2011, Stacy got diagnosed with breast cancer, and a couple years prior to that, I remember her asking me, like, are we all right? And I had become so consumed with coaching and recruiting and everything with my job that, I mean, I just got home when I got home. And, you know, we were a half hour, 35 minutes away, and it was like just locked into, you know, we need to win. We want to be good. We got to put in this time. We got to do this stuff. So typical guy, like, I'm like, yeah, we're good, you know? And she's like, but we're not spending any time together. We're not talking, like all those things. And it was kind of an eye-opening moment. And, you know, I made the effort to try to do a better job with that. Well, then I think it was July 5th, 2011, I'm in a gym in Indiana, and I get a phone message because it was too loud in the gym to hear. And I get a message from Stacy, and she's crying, obviously, and telling me that she has breast cancer. And so at that moment, you know, up till that moment, it's like, you know, just going through life. You know, you hear about people getting cancer, but it hadn't hit us personal right here until that moment. And then it changed, like, changed in a lot of respects. Like, all of a sudden, basketball was not that important. And that year was, you know, very challenging for our family, very trying. Like, I remember Stacy having this awful cough from the chemo and everything, and the kids were so little, and they're just looking at her, like, in the bathroom, and I'm trying to get them out of the bathroom in the living room because she was just hacking up a lung, and her hair's falling out, and, I mean, it got crazy sometimes, but God was with us every step of the way through that journey. And when I look back, I'm like, I'm not sure if God used that to really, you know, wake me up, but that was a very life-changing moment for me where I was like, you know what? Like, I need to use, if I'm going to coach, I need to use that to really try to have an impact on people. Not that I didn't have, I think I still had an impact on the kids that I coached, but I was just, my focus was not in the right place there for a good stretch of time. And all of a sudden, that totally changed then. So Stacy kept teaching, and I kept coaching. And at the end of that spring, I was gassed. Obviously, she was. But the mental, you know, just toll that year took, trying to balance all that out, it was like, you know, I really felt like God was saying, you know, it's time for the next chapter. You need to give this up. And my AD at Ohio Dominican was like, you know, Nate, I think you need to stick it out. And there were some other people said the same thing. And I was like, no, I really just feel like, you know, God's telling me, like, it's time for something else. And that was a hard thing to do because, You know, when you're young and you're a coach, like, your goal is to be a head coach. And here I was, we were Division II, and I was a college head coach. That was a big deal. And here I was stepping down and resigning and saying, you know what, I need to put my family before, you know, basketball. And, you know, for those of you that know anything about college coaching, I mean, there's a lot of recruiting, a lot of phone calls. You know, you go home, but you're not always home. Phone's ringing, you're picking it up, you're talking to recruits, you're talking to an AAU coach, you're talking to a high school coach. It's a lot of work, and it's not just 8 to 5. There's a lot of stuff after. So, you know, for me, that was an important time, I think, for our family where, you know, God really got us focused. I think that happened throughout that time, that year that she was battling breast cancer and dealing with the chemo, but he really wrapped his hands around us and got us focused in that moment. So we sold our house in January 2013 in Sunbury, and we lived with family until June 2013, and when we sold our house, we had bought the house in 07 when the market was really good. Right after that, it crashed. So we were upside down $23,000 on the house. And so in June 2013, we said, when we moved to Fredericktown and we were going to rent, like, how much money do we owe people? Like, it just kind of came full circle. Like, we had never, and I talked to our classes over there in Mrs. Stump's finance class, and spend 45 minutes talking through some different things. But, you know, we didn't do a great job of budgeting and planning and talking through stuff like we do now. We just kind of just rolled with it, you know. Hey, just pay off this bill, on to the next one. Didn't really put a whole lot of time and effort into planning that stuff, which I don't know why, but, you know, it was obviously not a good thing on our part. So when we totaled up that what we owed that one time, we finally said, okay, what do we owe? How much money? $46,600 in school loans, credit cards, all that kind of stuff. And we're like, oh my goodness, that's a lot of money. And so we dove into the Dave Ramsey, you know, method. We read one of his books and dove into that. And really, I wouldn't say it was all us. Like, we really prayed about it. That was something that we needed God to get us through, because Stacy was working full-time. I was only working part-time at that point, actually all the way through that time. So we had a full-time salary, and we had a part-time salary. And we just said, you know, God, we want to hand over our finances to you. We want to bless you with those finances. We still want to be able to give and do the things you've called us to do, even though we have made these poor choices along the way with some of the things we did. Some of them were out of our control. So we headed down this journey to save money and, you know, really focus on him. So long story short, June 2015, we finally paid off the rest of our $46,600. So we're debt-free, which is a great thing other than our house right now. But we got rid of all those loans and all that debt and all of that. But we'd still be going down that path of getting in debt if we hadn't have taken a step back and said, God, what are we doing? Like, you're not in our finances right now. Regardless of how much money you make or whatever, like, you got to have God a part of your journey with you as you're budgeting and as you're planning and doing those things. And we had not done that, or not done a great job doing that. And when we finally said, God, we want you to take control, and we really sought him throughout that, you know, 2 year and then beyond now period, like, that was something that I think totally changed us. And all the you know, little things that happened along the way that I won't go into detail now, it was really a special time to see him work through our finances and how he was able to bless us. So in March 2016, he blessed us with another child, Titus, who's 2 now, And the doctors had told us, with Stacy having the chemo and everything, you're not going to be able to have kids anymore. And so Stacy and I, we'd always wanted four. And so we kind of resigned to the fact that, okay, we're only going to have two kids. Okay, God will, you know, we thank you for blessing us with two kids. And so when we kind of looked back, right at the end of our journey of becoming debt-free is probably when Titus was conceived, and then we had him in March. And I look back at that, and I'm like, man, God just had a perfect plan for how all of that was supposed to go. You know, we weren't ready to have another child, given all the finances that we were, you know, the debt we were trying to get out of. But here we are, getting out of that debt, and then, you know, and we didn't know it. Like, Stacy would go around school, and she just thought she was putting on weight, and she was struggling, and, you know, that was a struggle since, you know, the chemo and everything. But sure enough, she found out. Finally, I was like, you sure you don't want to go and get a test or something? And so trying to be a nice guy without saying, yeah. So she finally got the test, and she was 23 weeks pregnant. So, you know, didn't have morning sickness, but she didn't have morning sickness with the other kids. So there wasn't any major red flags. But again, I just feel like God's timing was perfect there. He blessed us with a child after we had gotten debt free and we're in a good place and we're ready to move on to that next chapter in our life. I really feel like I continue to pray and seek his will through all those circumstances, you know, with finances and what the next journey is in our life. I think Stacy and I both do that with our kids. You know, what's that look like with our kids? We want to make sure we're, you know, talking to our kids about the things in schools that, you know, she dealt with in school, that I dealt with in school, to make sure that, you know, our kids understand what that looks like and what that sounds like to other people. But honestly, I don't know. I look at people now, I look at circumstances now, and I'm like, how do people deal with things and not have God, like, to go to? Like, they don't know him, so they don't pray. You know, they don't seek him out for the wisdom when things get really tough. Like, I just think about all those things that happened to me in high school, and even though I was only on the surface level, you know, I still would, you know, pray and ask him to help me during some of those times. And I'm like, what if I hadn't been, you know, in the church? Like, you know, what would that look like? And I think we have a great opportunity to reach people who don't know Christ just in little ways. You know, you see somebody getting picked on, all right, you deal with that and try to pick them up and give them some positives. There's all kinds of things that you can do there. But I think, you know, that's what we're called to do. You know, we're called to serve others, and, you know, I think we constantly have to find ways and ask God to open up doors for us to serve others and look at ways to be nice and be kind to other people. So as I close, a couple takeaways, and I don't think I had anything super deep tonight, but you need to reach out to God in both good times and bad, and seek his guidance. He wants to have a relationship with you. The second thing is, you can get through anything with God's help. I look back to my high school days, I'm like, if I could deal with that bullying and deal with my dad and some of that abuse and, you know, just my uncle, you know, dying, like, those were a lot of things for a high school kid to deal with. If I can deal with that, then I can deal, you know, with anything. And I needed God to help me through that. So we can get through anything with his help. And then don't lose sight, the last thing is, don't lose sight of how much he loves you. And even when we don't always understand it, I think his plan is perfect. Because there were plenty of things throughout my story that, you know, I don't think were perfect or were part of my plan, right? But they were part of his plan. So let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this evening. And rain or shine, we are here, and we are here to serve you. And I just pray that you used me tonight to speak words, but that you would take those words, and hopefully those would have an impact on somebody here tonight in this service. We just thank you and praise you for everything that you do for us and through us as we look to serve you. In your name, amen.